Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
I believe that Muslims have the right to practice their religion as everyone else in this country. That includes the right to build a place of worship in Lower Manhattan.
I was not commenting on the wisdom of a decision to put a mosque there. I was commenting very specifically on the right that people have that dates back to our founding.
It's a matter of time, and it's a matter of people in same-sex relationships coming out and sharing that they want the dignity and respect and protections that come along with marriage.
Children of every race, creed, and color need a father and a mother.
If you want to see what the love of God is, the place that you look is at a man bloody dead on a cross.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
It's a famous encounter between Jesus, a Pharisee named Simon. They're at his house eating, and a woman who is apparently uninvited to the party. And yet, when all is said and done, Jesus commends this woman, not because she is a great sinner, she certainly is that, and not even because she greatly loves, which she certainly does, but he commends her for something that she really hasn't done at all. He commends her for being forgiven much. We're going to be talking about forgiveness and love live this Wednesday afternoon, the 18th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. If you're not a fan already, just click the like button and you'll become one. It's a growing number. I think we're approaching or maybe surpassed 4,500 already. You can leave your questions and comments there for a conversation that we'll have in the second hour of the program on this Wednesday afternoon with Dr. Lawrence White about the secularization of the church. In the meantime, we'll talk forgiveness and love in the first half hour, and then Ellie Caro, a student in the deaconess program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will join us to talk about the teachings of Beth Moore. If you have been hiding or out of the country or under a rock, you might not know who Beth Moore is. But if you've been in just about any church, any place, then you know who she is. Who is she and what does she teach? We'll find out in about 30 minutes here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC and email talkback at IssuesETC.org or visit the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, He Who Has Been Forgiven Much, Loves Much. Brent, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's good to be with you. Peace be with you.
And with you as well. I understand that there is a wager to be settled between you and my producer. You were less than optimistic about the prospects of Pastor Matt Harrison's election to synodical president. Jeff was optimistic. And what was on the line and yet unpaid?
Oh, it was two cases of Guinness.
Two cases? He said only one case.
No, it's two.
Jeff's...
See how forgetful he is? I could just pull the wool right over his eyes.
Jeff's eyes just lit up even more than they already were. So. All right, well, we expect to see... just do it in installments, one case at a time. Jeff can hardly handle that much, so just one case at a time, we'll expect
to... Well, he's like Melanchthon. He can only handle half a stein, whereas Luther could handle the whole stein.
That's true.
By the way, congratulations in order. Emma is married, is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. We're very, very happy parents and parents-in-law as well. Brent, what's the difference between Simon the Pharisee, who's hosting this little dinner party with Jesus at the table, and this woman that you say sneaks in uninvited? What's the real difference between the two?
It's a big dinner party. This was a big deal. It was a good time to show off, and Simon was going to show off by inviting the prophet. the teacher, Jesus, you know, look at me, I'm a big shot. I can have the big shot preacher in for dinner. In any event, the difference is very simple. It's faith. You know, at the end of the story here, Jesus commends the woman. He says, your faith has saved you. That's the difference. You know, once Jesus said your sins are forgiven and treated this woman as a forgiven sinner, then Simon no longer wanted to call Jesus even a prophet. he couldn't handle a Jesus who came to live, suffer, and die for sinners. Simon, he didn't think he was that big of a sinner, so he didn't need a savior. But this woman, she's a big-time sinner, and she knows that Jesus is the savior. Word's gotten out. No doubt she's either heard Jesus preach or she's heard about the preaching of Jesus. She knows who he is and what he's came for. It's kind of like the Canaanite woman, you know, when she approaches Jesus and says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. She knows who he is, the promised king from 2 Samuel 7, the everlasting king, that is, and what he's come for, to have mercy. She knows this. Simon won't believe it. He won't have a Jesus who's come for sinners. That's the difference.
So tell us the story and how it is that Jesus comes to the point of actually saying, well, he tells a parable after he says, look, this woman loves much, for she has been forgiven much. And those who are forgiven little love little. How does he come to the point of saying that to Simon?
Well, of course, you have just prior to this story in Luke 7:36, Jesus, of course, is really laying it on hard, and especially to the Pharisees. You know, in verse 29 and following, it says, all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, they acknowledged that God's way was right. What way is that? Very simply, the way of repentance and faith, which John the Baptist, of course, preached, and of course what Jesus preached when he began his ministry. And then in verse 30 it says, but the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves. They won't have anything to do with this. And so when he's invited by a Pharisee into his own home for a big shot dinner, and then this woman shows up, well, my word, I mentioned earlier this woman's a big-time sinner. You know, Luke's way of talking about big-time sinners just to say that she had lived a sinful life. What kind of a sinful life? Well, she's got an alabaster jar of perfume. Now, if you're a woman in Jesus' day and you've got an alabaster jar of perfume, most of the time you wore it around your neck. And the reason for that was it would perfume two things. It would sweeten your breath, because, you know, they didn't brush teeth like we do today. And then it would sweeten her bosom. So that gives us a hint of what kind of a sinner she is, doesn't it? She's probably a what? A prostitute. So she's perfected sinful, if you will. She's sinful in the way of prostitution. But she, as I said earlier, she knows who Jesus is and why he's come. She knows that he's come for sinners and that with him the kingdom of God has come on the earth. And with the kingdom of God, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, that is to say, salvation. And so she shows up uninvited at Simon's house. She stands behind Jesus. She weeps. She wets his feet with her tears, wipes his feet with her hair, kisses them, and then pours the perfume on them. Now, Simon didn't do any of this, but she does. So Simon's offended. Now, by the way, you can just imagine if you're Simon, what he's thinking at this point. He knows what this woman's occupation is. So Simon and his guests probably think that this woman, with all this what we'd call theatrical stuff going on, is probably doing what, Todd? What do you think? I'm going to ask you. You give me the answer.
Well, I mean, just to kind of think of it in purely human terms, she's trying to drum up business.
That's right. Simon, no doubt, thinks that she's putting the moves on Jesus. That's what she does for a living. And so the text says when he saw this, he said, man, if this Jesus were a prophet, he'd know who's touching him and what kind of a woman that she is. She's a sinner, and we all know, a prostitute. And that's when Jesus tells the story, the parable, where two men owe money. And one man owed the moneylender 500 denarii, and a denarii, of course, in those days was a day wage. So that's a lot of money, 500 days' wages. The other 50. Neither of them could pay him back. And so what does the moneylender do?
He just forgives the debts. He lets them be. And then Jesus asked the question, which of these two, namely the ones that had their debts forgiven, will love the money lender more who forgave the debt? And of course, Simon, he gets the answer right. He says, well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And then Jesus says, says to Simon, as he looks at the woman, do you see this woman? Here she is in your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. She wet my feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss. But this woman, from the time I entered, hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. He tells the story to illustrate two points. Number one, Simon, you showed no love towards me because you don't believe you're a sinner at all. And therefore, since you have no sin to be forgiven, I'm not even a savior to you, and you don't love me. On the other hand, and this is the second point with the story, is I've come for sinners. She knows she's a sinner, and she knows that she's forgiven because I've come for her. And so my forgiveness is the cause of her love. I'm going to repeat that. My forgiveness to this woman is the cause of everything that she did for me. You mistook it as her putting the moves on me, but no, instead, it's just the opposite. She loves because she has been forgiven everything, absolutely everything. And then, of course, Jesus just publicly says what's true all along. He says to her in verse 48, honey, listen to me. Your sins are forgiven.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll pick it up there with Pastor Brent Kuhlman. We're talking about forgiveness and love. Often people read this account and hear Jesus saying quite the opposite. They hear him saying, well, her love was the cause of the forgiveness. That's not how it is. We'll go more into that on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues, Etc. 618-223-8382.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
We're talking about forgiveness and love on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is our guest. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, He Who Has Been Forgiven Much Loves Much. I'll tell you a little bit more about Higher Things in just a minute. Picking up where we left off, Brent, some people stop here at this point, and there's more to say because even the people marvel at Jesus' assertion that he is forgiving sins.
Yep.
But some people read Jesus' words, and they read there in Luke chapter 7 where we're at, and I want you to clear up this sometimes confusion. In verse 47, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he was forgiven little loves little. Some say it sounds like Jesus is saying she's forgiven because she loved. You said it's the other way around.
That's right, and that's the whole story that he told with the people, the two men who owed the moneylender money, illustrates that point. In fact, the entire context of the entire New Testament teaches this truth, that the cause of love is the forgiveness that always comes first. So that's just categorically the fact. Forgiveness comes first. And so it's as Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, a good tree bears good fruit. And so through the forgiveness of sins, we are made to be a good tree. And then it just bears fruit, and that's the love of which we're speaking. Now, see, a lot of Christians do get this turned around and say that love causes the forgiveness. Well, if that's the case, that's not even Christian.
And then in verse 48, the people, after Jesus tells this woman, as you said, straight to her face that her sins are forgiven, the people are aghast that
yep.
he would presume to say such things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's just a man. Simon says, well, I don't even think he's a prophet. He didn't know who this chick is. We all know she's a prostitute, and yet he forgives her sins. Yeah, we have this also in Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel where he forgives like the paralytic, and you have the same thing going on. Well, who is it that even forgives sins? Well, it's Jesus, who is true God and true man. You know, the kingdom of God reigns on the earth in Christ Jesus, and with that kingdom comes the proclamation that your sins are forgiven. You remember there's that phrase in the Small Catechism, which we need to mine all the more. Seriously, as pastors, we need to teach us all the more. Remember, it's in the part on the Lord's Supper, and you know it by heart, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. This is what Jesus gives this woman. Her life is not the same ever again. She now has new life. She has the freedom to live, not as she used to, but now as a forgiven sinner. So she could go home, as Jesus does with many people in the New Testament, after he forgives them their sins, heals them from some disease or malady. He says, now go home now. Go home. The forgiveness that he gives now frees us to live our life as creatures who he now uses to love people. And this is part of what I wrote about in my article, is that, you know, the Lord uses his forgiven people as his instruments, his hands and his mouth, to love people because they desperately need our love, whether that's my son or daughter, my wife, my next door neighbor, maybe it's the person that I work with. So faith gives birth to love. That's exactly what we have in this woman, and the forgiveness of sins is the cause of her love for Jesus. And he's the one who can forgive because he died. He has the wounds to prove it. He shed his blood.
The conventional wisdom in the church today, Brent, is that if a pastor wants to motivate his people toward lives of service and love, he'll preach service and love.
Not just preach Jesus. Preach that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. That's what frees people. That's how you do it. And by the way, remember, this is fruit. It's fruit. How much love? Well, we don't keep score. We'll let the Lord handle that one, as the Spirit produces fruit in all of us in many and various ways, in the very and manyest ways in the places that he's put us in this world, you see. And a lot of this stuff we don't even see, and we might not even see it until we're old men and women and we finally look back in our lives and say, man, it's amazing how the Lord used me in my life to help people, to love them.
And this love is produced by nothing else than the forgiveness of sins?
That's correct. That's correct. Because it's love simply for the neighbor's sake. As Christ descended to us, you know, as the Creed says, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So we who have been served by our Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering death, in our baptisms, and as he serves us in the Lord's Supper, with his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, So now he uses us in our world where we live, where he's put us. We now descend to our neighbor for our neighbor's sake. Because, see, the salvation job's been done. We don't do this for our own sake or for our salvation's sake. We do it simply for their sake because they need it. And that's how God uses us. That's how Jesus used this woman. Now go home. Your faith, he says to the woman, go. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That's his way of saying, go home.
So I'm thinking about another parable that seems remarkably similar to this about, again, a debtor who could not pay what he owes.
Yeah, Matthew 18, right?
Exactly. And then Jesus kind of extends the parable one more step. He tells us kind of the rest of the story, and that man is worse off in the end than he was in the beginning. His debt is not only reinstated, but he is imprisoned.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, because he won't let the forgiveness have its way with him. He won't use it in love towards that neighbor who owed him something. Instead, he threw him in jail. And Jesus says, well, if that's how you're going to act, well, forget it. You know, that's interesting because that's where Jesus says, unless you forgive your brother, the Lord will not forgive you. And I think that's why the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer is a very important petition. You know, Jesus always links that with what you just mentioned from Matthew 18. The forgiveness of sins. Where there's forgiveness of sins, you have life. Where there's no forgiveness, you know, your past is still running the show, and your future is closed, and the life that you now live in the present is a prison. But with Jesus and his forgiveness, all is open, all is free. You know, it says, one of the Psalms says that the Lord gives a spacious room in which to roam. And that's love, love for the neighbor.
Then he speaks that final word you mentioned just a moment ago, your faith has saved you, go in peace. What is the peace he's talking about?
Oh, peace with God and then peace with all creation. You're at peace. First of all, peace with God. God doesn't hold your sin against you. He's not angry with you. He holds no grudges. You're okay because I died for you. Remember, your faith. Faith in what? In Jesus. Your faith in me has saved you. And so that's peace with God, as Paul talks about, especially in Romans, for example. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, peace with everyone around us. You see, there's the life. Where there's forgiveness of sins, there's life. Now you've got a life. Instead of looking at your neighbor and all of creation as being antagonistic towards you, now you see it simply as what? As creation, as God's gifts. And therefore you treat them as such. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so when I come to church on Sunday morning, what should I be going for?
Just like this woman, the highest worship of Jesus, you asked about going to church, the highest worship of Jesus is first and foremost this, to receive the forgiveness of sins from him.
In the end, how should we understand this story? We know, at least according to the text, nothing more of Simon and nothing more of this woman. But there's obviously their paths obviously completely diverge.
But there's more of Jesus. You see that Luke goes on with more of him. And that takes us into Calvary and the empty tomb and then our Lord's commission in Luke 24 to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sin. And so where does this lead? It leads to us. We're no better than this woman who in sin. We're just as sinful as she is, who we need Jesus just as much as she did. And so it leads us, this story leads us to Jesus, who died even for us sinners. His death counts for us too. And so we love him. We love him as we serve our neighbor.
Are any of us, we've got about a minute here, are any of us, you mentioned before that this woman is a professional sinner. She's got it. She's practiced. Are any of us part-time sinners?
Part-time? No. We've got it down pat, too. We're so good at it, we can hide our sins very well from other people. Even the closest people that we know, even the ones that love us the most, don't even know some of the sins that we do. We've got it down pat so well.
So we really are this woman as desperately in need of Christ's forgiveness as the worst sinner we can think of compared to ourselves.
That's exactly right. See, this woman was completely because number one, she's a woman, and then secondly, because she's, here's the biggie, because of her occupation, she was completely out of fellowship with the people of God in Jesus' day. But with, and we're the same way. But with Jesus and his forgiveness, we are in the church, his holy community, in fellowship with him, his brothers and sisters.
Pastor Brent Kuhlman is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, He Who Has Been Forgiven Much, Loves Much. You can find out about the Lutheran youth organization Higher Things at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brent, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good to be with you. Thanks so much for your time.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, Ellie Caro is going to join us. We'll be talking with her about the teachings of Beth Moore. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. If you've been to one of Beth Moore's seminars or if you've seen her video series played at your church or another church, if you have questions about the teachings of Beth Moore, the next half hour is for you, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado; St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Never send a man to do a job a baby and a mother can do better. That was just the case in Washington, D.C. Pro-abortion members of Congress had just introduced legislation attacking pro-life women help centers. Too many women were going into these centers looking for abortions and choosing life. Planned Parenthood and NARAL can't stand losing paying customers, so they're backing the bill. Women who've been helped by these pro-life centers went to Washington to lobby against the bill, and they took their babies. It's hard to look into the face of babies and then attack the centers, saving their lives. One woman arrived alone. She made an adoption plan for her baby and wanted them to know the pro-life center helped her. Let's hope Congress is listening.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been. Thank you.